All right. Okay, well, we're going to start a new series. This will be a five-week series on prayer. And this is not a series where we're going to dive into the scriptures and read or look at what does God say about prayer. It's really going to be more related to what I would say building good practices of prayer. You know, as you all know, I like to take, I think I've mentioned this book to y'all before, but pretty much this series, I am really taking the majority of this information from this book that Lisa and I read a few months ago called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. You don't need to read the book. It's not a book study. But I just want you to be aware that's kind of where I'm getting this. If you see anything or interested or want to dive deeper into it, I would encourage you to grab the book. And, you know, one of the things that has been meaningful to me, and as I think about our class from a nooks and crannies perspective is, right, we're all about how do we take that head knowledge and push it down into our daily lives. And that was one of the things that this book really spoke to me on. And so that's one of the reasons why I decided, hey, let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to move this over a little bit because I realize those over here are probably going to have trouble. And yes, guys, I do PowerPoints because I'm a sales guy. I live in PowerPoint. So this is, I'm always going to do PowerPoints when I come up here. It's kind of my crutch. So anyway, so let's get started, right? So when you think about the phenomenon of prayer, you know, I got to take a step back. And I have to take a step back and think, well, wait a minute. What is prayer, right? Where do we go? You become a believer and all of a sudden you think about it, you've got this way to communicate with God. I mean, whether you're a believer or not, you've got that ability to communicate. But it's one of those things that it's quite mind-boggling, I think, when you think about it. And I think we take it for granted. I think as Cindy even prayed, I don't think any of us are satisfied with our prayer life. And let's face it, it's kind of easy just to kind of fluff it off. Stanton says, prayer invites you to learn to listen to God before speaking, to ask like a child in your old age, to scream your questions in an angry tirade, to undress yourself in vulnerable confession, and to be loved, completely and totally loved in spite of everything. I mean, there's a lot of vulnerability, if you think about it, in prayer. You're coming to God, you know, with your asks, with your anger, with your frustrations, with your excitement. I don't know about you, but for me, when I let my guard down and actually pray to the Lord from my heart, there is so much more meaning to that for me, so much more peace that surpasses all understanding in my book. So then the question is, do you pray to God that intimately? I don't. It's easy not to. It's easy just to get a rhythm, right? I learned years ago, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, right? I see a lot of nods, right? And which is great. I'm not saying that's wrong, but how many times do we just get into that formula and we forget just as all God wants to do is have us pour our hearts out to Him, right? So Stanton also has an interesting quote where I totally agree with this. Most of us get about knee deep in the Christian life. We discover the water feels fine and we stop there. We never swim in the depths of the divine intimacy that Jesus won for us. Because you think about that, that's exactly why Christ died on the cross, right? I mean, I was a four spiritual laws guy in college, so it was all about the gap, right? The chasm or whatever we used to call it, to bridge that gap in a relationship where now you've got this personal, intimate relationship. And then the question is, well, why don't we do that? And we'll get to that. So, as I mentioned, the goal of this session, these 5 weeks, at the end of each session, we are going to talk about a practice that the book recommends, right? It's a practice around what can we do in our daily walk, in our daily Christian or prayer time, to perhaps make a more insightful, intimate time with the Lord. Okay, that's the goal, and that's kind of the way I tend to think. So, one of the things that, you know, there's lots of examples in the New Testament and the Old, for that matter, of prayer, right? Psalms is chock full of prayer. David spends tons of time in prayer. We all think about Philippians 4, right? Be anxious for nothing. But one of the things that it dawned on me was that right before verse 5, right? I mean, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. It actually says the Lord is near. I kind of forget that. Right? When we memorize it, we don't memorize 5b. We memorize 6 through 7, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request be known to God. Yeah, it's been a while since I've memorized that. But the point being is God is near. And I think we have to remember that as we are approaching God, that He is near, that He wants to be near us, and He promises peace. He promises that peace. And how many times do we go to the Lord with things that are overwhelming? And maybe we get that peace and maybe we don't. But to a certain extent, He's saying, look, don't be anxious in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful promise, but it's a promise we don't necessarily take advantage of very often. And I think we need to. So why don't we pray? Some ideas, right? Number one, fear of being naive. I mean, think about it. Prayer really can't be mastered because it's all about submission. You are going to the Lord. You are submitting yourself to God. You're not in control. You may be in control of the words you say, but you're not in control. If anything, you're going to the Lord because you aren't in control. So, and for some people, that's a very difficult thing to do. You know, in our society, we don't necessarily want to trust people, right? We have this fear of either getting our hopes up, or we have this fear of somebody might let you down. That's one example. Another is fear of silence. I mean, let's face it. In the world today, we are constantly moving. And I'm going to go deeper into this in just a few minutes, but think about it. We are constantly moving. There's always noise. A lot of people can't be silent. It scares them to be silent because they're not used to it, right? Dallas Willard says, silence is frightening because it strips us as nothing else does, throwing us upon the stark realities of our life. Because if you're silent, then nothing else is going on, right? Your ideas, your thoughts, that's all coming out on the surface. And last, selfish motives. I'll throw this one up there, right? Why am I doing this? Why am I praying for this? Do I really care about this? Or do I have a selfish motive in the background that, you know, God, if you did this, whew, that would be much better for me, right? I mean, that's another area. So those are three areas that Staton talks about of perhaps why we don't pray. So then why should we pray? We talked a little bit about being overwhelmed, right? I mean, think about it. In our society and what we do, right, we tend to be me-focused. We are me-centered. I can control it. But reality is we can't. And so we should be looking to prayer from that perspective. Once again, it goes back to that submission word we used earlier, that vulnerability, recognizing that you really can't control it. Talks about trust that comes before faith. Trust is the certainty that listening, God hears and cares. I trust the God who, even when he doesn't make the suffering go away, he wears the suffering alongside me. That's an interesting one. I trust that God who, even when he doesn't make the suffering go away, he wears the suffering alongside me. And the last one, which I think is pretty funny, but it's normal, right? I mean, you look throughout the Psalms, it's complaints. I mean, God is looking for a relationship, not some well-prepared speech spoken from perfect motives. I go back to that whole formula that I talked about before, right? That's kind of my formula that I go through. But when I break that down and just go to the Lord in frustration or desperation or love, that changes the whole dynamics of the prayer. And guess what? It provides me with a peace that surpasses anything I could ever imagine. But yet, think about it, I'm a sales guy, right? This is what I do. I want to present something well formulated. That's what we do, right? Especially if we're praying in groups or even praying on our own. A lot of times people believe they've got to say the right thing so God will listen. And that's so not true. How many times do we just go to the Lord and say, God, I am pissed. Sorry. Right? I mean, really, I don't do it very often. But I'm angry. I mean, look at David, right? I mean, if somebody wants to, somebody look up Psalm 140, verse 10. Anybody have that? I know. I'm quick. Jennifer?
Let burning coals fall upon them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to rise.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, baby. Right? I mean, that's kind of honest, isn't it? You've got David, and I gave you a couple of different examples. You got David throwing these things out there. And then, of course, you've got Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I mean, that guy's on both ends of that spectrum. Do we pray on both ends of that spectrum? Okay, let's keep going.
The C.S. Lewis quote, I love that.
Oh, sorry, I missed it. We must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. What do y'all think that means? I mean, do you? I was just gonna say, do you think he doesn't know, right? Yeah. Well, you could lie. Just yeah, right. I mean, you just fool yourself. Kind of is the way I look at it. What's that, Kim?
You just have one more thing to confess at that point.
Yeah.
And so the relationship building comes when you're just there before the Lord.
Right. Yeah, and he had one more, which was pray, because the only way to get it wrong is by trying to get it right. That was I was like, wow, okay, right? We're striving to get prayer right, but reality is that's the only way you could get it wrong, because there is no right or wrong. Just pray. Just open yourself up. The Lord's Prayer, right? Give us today our daily bread. I don't know why that never resonated with me until just a few years ago, right? Our daily bread, it's a simple statement. Bring your felt needs to God, the needs of this day, talk to him about them. You know, the most straightforward response is to talk to God about what's on your mind. That's it. You talk to God like a friend, you vent, you ask, you laugh, you listen, you unload, you just talk.
For me, this, I have read the book, and this chapter was probably the most revolutionary for me, because sitting in silence is, I love that. So,
poor Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. Pray like you, pray like you can't.
Right. Yeah.
So I just, that the morning I finished that chapter, I just unloaded on God. I really did.
Nice. That's great.
Which is so not me.
You're right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It needs to be boxed. So some things to remember, right, as we, and then we're going to move into another topic. But the Lord is near. The most important discovery you'll ever make is the Father's love. And it's taught, it's not taught, it's discovered, right? And how do we discover it? I think we discover it by making ourselves vulnerable, to giving ourselves over to the Lord. And that prayer is just to come out and just speak, right? Tell him what's going on. Prayer is more practice than theory. By praying, we learn to pray. To a certain extent, right, the more you get into this, the more you get into the habit of spilling your guts to the Lord, I think the easier it becomes. I'm still getting there. I'll be very honest with you. And it's about presence before it's about anything else. It starts with presence. And we're going to talk a little bit about what does that really mean and how do we put that into practice. And so the idea around this is he calls it prayer posture. I think of posture as trying to sit up straight, which I don't do very well, to be honest with you. But it's really more about being still. Being still before the Lord. And guys, I'm a talker. This is what I do, right? This is hard. This is hard. I'll tell you right now, this is hard. So, but let's talk about why it is so hard. There are three inventions that they call out that shape our Western life cycle, our lifestyle, sorry. Number one, the clock. In 1370, the first clock was stood up in Germany, right? And so basically we went from natural time to artificial time as a Western society. The next one is the light bulb, basically electricity, right? You think about it. In 1879, right, Thomas Edison invents the light bulb. Prior to that, the average American slept 10 hours a night. Anybody sleep 10 hours a night in here? Yeah, right, Terry's like, yes, I would love that, right? But think about it. You just went to bed. It got dark. You went to bed. You woke up when the sun came up, right? Because you couldn't do anything else. I love this one. So think about it. In the 60s, you had an explosion of appliances, right? You had the microwave oven, washer dryer, dishwasher, all of that stuff. A Senate subcommittee in 1967 claimed that the average American by 1995 was going to be working 22 hours a week for 27 weeks a year because we would be so efficient and we would have so much leisure time. Yeah.
Maybe with AI.
Right. AI is going to do that too. That's that. Thank you, Cindy. Right? I don't know where he got this quote or this stat, but he said leisure time actually has decreased since the 1980s. And then the beautiful, wonderful, yeah. It's like everything you want in your pocket, right? 2016 study, average person touches their cell phone 2,617 times a day, spending 2.5 hours. That was in 2016. 3 years later, it's already doubled. I don't even know what it is now. I don't know if I want to know what it is now. When my kids were first phones, right, early days of phones, my son, because he had a girlfriend, right, but this is back when they didn't have iPhones. It was not a smartphone. It was the whole keyboard thing, right? I think he sent over 5,000 text messages in 1 month. I was like, dude, I mean, I was thinking the number of text messages in a day that that calculates into down to an hour. And I was like, what are you doing? Right? I mean, that was, you know, it was, I blame it all on Chuck. Everything I blame for that one is on Chuck. So, yeah, pretty scary. So no wonder we don't ever take a step back. Right? It's constantly in our face. So Dallas Willard was asked, what do I need to do to be spiritually healthy? You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. Think about it, hurry, right? Yeah. And hurry, I think, is a much broader term than just being in a hurry. But what do? We try to squeeze prayer into our busy lives. I try to get my formula. I try to squeeze it into that 5 minutes before I'm going to do this and then do that. Because I've got a schedule. Stanton says, we try to import prayer into our hurried lives, treating the symptoms but avoiding the full detox. And the result is lip service to God while effortlessly confirming that culture remains the one true God we worship. We can keep up the illusion, ignore the truth, as long as we never stop moving. For me, that was a little convicting. So what is unhurried love, right? Stanton talks about an unhurried love, that Jesus was intentional and interruptible. Think about it. He went away to pray. He told his disciples and his followers to go find your closet and pray. Think about what a closet was back then. Maybe a pant, you know what I mean? Maybe something with a sheet across it. I don't know. It's not like they had a walk-in closet that you could go into. But the idea being is separating yourself, being quiet, being where you need to be. Hurry hides behind anger, agitation, self-centeredness. It blinds us to the fact that we are God's beloved. We are brothers and sisters in Christ because we're constantly thinking, what's the next thing that I need to be doing? So the idea is when we stop moving and stop talking and we arrive present and quiet before God, He's going to take all of our disordered desires, distorted attachments, and codependencies and transform them into love. Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. So, now let's talk a little bit about the practice and what is that. And it's very simple, guys. It's taking X number of minutes a day and just being still before God, right? They recommend, and I would encourage you to do this, is what I've been trying to do, is you pick a consistent time of the day. For me, it's morning. That's when it's very quiet in my house. That's the way I do it. Others, it could be the evening. It's completely up to you, right? But try to pick a consistent time. Try to choose a place, whatever that might be. Mine is in our living room in a particular chair that I like to sit in the mornings with my coffee. That's when I do it. That's kind of my holy ground, if you will. But it's kind of a remembrance. And then I set a timer. I kind of jumped down there. I set a timer on my phone. And the reason you set a timer is so you're not constantly looking at the phone to see if the minutes are over, right? But you set a timer. Start with 2 minutes or 4 minutes. Set the timer. Close your eyes and just listen to God and see what He has to say. And then I would encourage you not to judge yourself. don't measure, was it successful? Well, God didn't say anything. That's okay. That's okay. And you're, guess what? You're going to have trouble because you're going to have a lot of stuff going on in your brain. And it's going to take some practice to begin to let go of some of that. Begin to think about nothing else but just listening to God. And you could start out with just a simple, you know, here I am, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy, whatever. And then just be quiet. Just be still. Just listen. Just listen to what he has to say. Right? And work through that. Go ahead.
The posture's important too, though.
You like the posture?
Yeah,
sure.
Sit with both feet on the ground.
Mm.
And your hands open in your lap.
Okay.
The hardest thing for me is to keep from closing my hands.
Really? Interesting.
Take control.
Ah. Yeah, I don't do that.
It's a real
don't know why.
Practice
for you to
sit with my hands open. And it's always been like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to take control. Yeah.
Okay. So it does. It can go very quickly. So that's what we're going to try. I'm going to set a timer for 4 minutes. We're not going to break up into groups.
I thought we were supposed to start with 2.
We're going to go 4. I know you guys. You can do 4. We're going to do 4 minutes. We've got time. The other people aren't going to come blasting in anytime soon. So, but we're going to try for 4 minutes. Just listen to the Lord. That's it. That's all I want you to do. All right? Set a timer for 4 minutes. So try that this week. 2 minutes, 4 minutes. See if you can't build it up a little bit longer. Try to think about a consistent time. Just be silent before the Lord. So on that note, let me send us out of here. May the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. And may the love of God go with us this week and forever. Amen. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Talk amongst yourselves.